HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Did you know that every year humans emit over 43 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere? To put that into perspective, it's enough to fill 240 trillion bathtubs. Crazy, right? It's no secret that pollution and climate change are two of the horrendous challenges we face today. And while there are countless proposed solutions to combat pollution, the one we are about to explore today will truly blow your mind. And to add to the excitement, this groundbreaking technology is led by a bright and ambitious individual who at just 24 years old is already making waves in the industry. Let's dive in. Welcome to A Circular Revolution, presented by Indian Youth Climate Network, a podcast that explores the innovative world of circular economy startups. This podcast is supported by European Union Resource Efficiency Initiative and UNICEF India. I'm your host, Ankita Bhava, in candid conversations with inspiring founders who are changing the game and making our future more sustainable. So, buckle up and get ready to join the loop as we dive deep into the world of circular economy. Introducing today's guest, a true environmental trailblazer. He's a young and driven chemical engineer who is passionate about taking action against climate change. With his extensive knowledge, management skills, and experience in research and development, he has created an innovative solution to combat carbon emissions. Get ready to meet Ronak, the founder of Greenovate Solutions, and learn how he is making a difference in the fight against climate change. Hi, Ronak. How are you?
Hey, Ankita, I'm great. Thanks for the exciting intro. I must say that was something very exciting to hear about my own self.
You know, we've talked a lot about circular economy in all the previous episodes, which in case any one of you haven't checked out, please do. So I was saying that we have talked a lot about circular economy, which involves reusing and refurbishing products to reduce waste. But I must admit, I'm not quite sure of what a carbon circular economy is. You are introducing me to a whole new concept here. So can you explain to me what the carbon circular economy means and why it's important in our efforts to control CO2 emissions? Honestly, just explain it to me like you are explaining it to a kid.
Okay, Ankita. So firstly, thanks that y'all are familiar with circular economy as such, okay, because the trouble starts if I want to actually explain circular economy, but I'll just try to narrow it down into small portion up here, as that circular economy is where we're trying to loop in the economy, we're trying to keep the cash flow running inside the closed loop, yeah, and making sure that it keeps recirculating and it keeps generating value also from that. What we do understand with carbon circular economy is also the same thing, is that we're trying to keep carbon in a closed loop environment up here, because carbon as an asset and as a material or as a product is also considered as to be and having an economic value to it up here. So what we're trying to do in this case is that we're trying to make sure that in a small closed loop sort of cluster or a small loop setting itself, the material flow of the carbon also keeps constant, the economic flow of the carbon also keeps constant, and so is the incentives, and so is the monies, so is the job role, so is the involvement of the stakeholders also keep running into the same part. Explaining it into the terms of kid is basically, there are a set of 5-6 kids in the garden, and you're making sure that the carbon is moved along the hands of each and every kid, from time to time. Okay, so is that making sure that there is no extensively further more emissions of CO2 or CO2 carbon dioxide coming upon, but the same carbon dioxide is just kept on moving around between the sets of kids, and each and every kid gets to play with the carbon dioxide. That's all.
Thank you for making this seemingly complex topic look so easy to understand. And, you know, it does sound like a really promising concept. So how do you envision a carbon circular economy achieving India's climate goals and mitigating the impacts of climate change? And how can we as individuals and businesses contribute towards its growth and success?
Talking in terms of environmental impact and creating a mitigation problem, mitigation impact, or solving a pit on a mitigation level up here, CO2 emissions unavoidable. Okay, we can curb them down. We can reduce them down. We can try to minimize them as much as possible. But its stoppage is not going to be happening very soon.
Correct.
What we can do with the help of circular economy up here is that we can just maintain the emission levels, and we can maintain a streamline of emissions rotating around into the economy and rotating around in the system up here. What sense does that make? Is basically specific we're looking upon for is one person's emission could be one person's raw material is something as an ideology that we are setting up on.
Wow.
Let's give it an example up here by taking it a little more technical. I'll try to minimize it later again for the kids also. Is that you're having a petroleum industry or an oil and gas or a cement and steel industries. Now, CO2 emissions from these industries are unavoidable. They are bound to happen upon. But what you can do on the other side is that you can make this emissions capturable, or you can, you know, trap them up, or you can store them up after capturing or something up there, so that the emissions which was directly supposed to be entering into the atmosphere, it is rather than atmospheric but being stored upon it one place. Okay, now what you do after storing it at one place is that you give it to somebody who actually uses CO2 in order to make something. Let us say these days a lot of people are trying to make methanol, make alternative fuels, make decorative materials, or etc. etc. A lot of other things are being made where CO2, carbon dioxide, is actually consumed and is required as a raw material product up here. So the economical circular model suggests that one industry's emission could be captured and could be stored in a particular manner, wherein that emission could be used by another industry, set of industry, as to be the raw material source. What in the circular economy we are suggesting is that we're creating a model which can actually, so in superficially talking, it feels good, but engineeringly and economically and at a higher scale, where we were talking about maybe moving out 10,000, 50,000 tons of carbon dioxide across the economy. So yeah, that becomes a little complex situation, but yeah, creating up a model, creating up a system into place where this whole flow could be streamlined is what something that we are trying to see. And when this can be achieved is where we can actually try to acquire and achieve the targets of India's climate goals also.
I'll move to the business part. I'll maybe come back to the individuals part later on. Mm-hmm. So businesses, in order to do this, need to work in hand-to-hand fashion up here. There has to be a collaboration made upon. There has to be some understanding developed upon. Because this is going to be a case where industries would be bringing interdependencies onto each other. Okay, what at individual level, I have not particularly working out on some things on the individual lines, but what I have seen so far is that there are a lot of other people who have created some platforms and who have created some certain places and pages and such ways where individuals can also contribute in order to create circular, not just circular economy, but to track their carbon dioxide emissions, but minimize their carbon dioxide emission. Even individuals can claim on an individual level for carbon credits and can also invest in carbon economy and everything. So those kind of platforms are also active right now. They are very efficient enough into even maintaining and reducing and promoting per user on a per day 50 kgs to 10 kgs to 50 kgs of CO2 emission reductions, which is, if done on an extensive level, sure would be creating up an impact.
Absolutely. And I think it's never too late for anyone of you to get involved. After all, we don't inherit the world from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. Correct, Ranak?
Oh, wow. You got it from my deck, or is it somewhere already published?
Yeah, it's from your deck.
Oh, thank you so much.
So it's fascinating to hear how your company is pioneering the use of carbon capture technology to control emissions in this space. Can you explain to us in simple terms how this technology works and what role it plays in reducing carbon emissions?
Okay, so as the name suggests, carbon capture technology, so simple it is that the technology tries to capture the carbon. Okay, let's just say you open up a perfume bottle. Okay, what you see is the fragrance getting out from it, and you can just smell it around in the air or something. Now, what we say capturing is like, if you're trying to capture that fragrance, if you're trying to capture that aroma from spreading around, and you want to capture it whenever it's oozing out of it, so you want to pipeline the thing. Okay, basically, you don't want it to get emitted into the atmosphere as but you want the aroma only to be taken upon to one particular place. You want to channelize it. You don't want it to spread around. So the carbon capture technology also works in the same fashion, is that rather than letting the emissions open into the atmosphere, we actually channelize it. Where do we channelize it is into a capture system. Okay, now is into this capture system, what happens upon, how do we say it? Capture is again a little bit of a chemical terms coming in, where absorption happens and then desorption again happens at the later stage. Okay, so what happens at the absorption stage is that I can give you the example of a Coke bottle. We all know that in our Coke bottles, Pepsi bottles or Sprite or Mirinda or whatever, they are actually infused with CO2 inside it. So CO2 is dissolved into the Coke. Whenever we open the bottle, the fizz comes out, right? So similar things happen upon. What we do is, like, we have an absorbent, which is a chemical liquid present. And what we try to do is, like, we make this emission pass through that absorbent. So similarly, before when we are trying, like in a Coke, how CO2 carbon dioxide is dissolved within itself naturally, and when you open up the lid, it gets emitted out, oozing out. Up here, what we do is the opposite of it. We actually make it that the liquid is there, and we enforce that liquid with the CO2 gas. And what we force is that by pressurizing, we force that CO2 to actually dissolve within the liquid. Now, what happens is that there was a gas line which was passing through, which was going to go into the atmosphere along with the CO2 in it and enter into the atmosphere. But now this gas is going to be passing through this liquid. And when it will pass through the liquid, the CO2 will be absorbed within the liquid, and the gas will pass after the liquid, the gas will pass out without CO2. I hope I'm making sense to you. But just imagine trying that. You're passing up a gas stream from a liquid, and CO2 stays back into the liquid, and the rest of the things comes out as a bubble from the liquid. So that's a simple way how the technology works upon up here. It's almost the opposite of opening up a Coke bottle.
Wow. I'm in awe of how you have turned a problem like carbon emissions into an opportunity for resource creation. Kudos to you, Rona. Kudos. And it's amazing to see how your passion for chemistry and the environment has led to the creation of Greenovate Solutions. Actually, wait, we haven't touched upon this yet. So we are all ears to know what inspired you to pursue this path. And how did you transform from a chemical engineer to a climate superhero, I would say. We want to hear your story, Ronak.
I don't know about climate superhero and stuff like that. But yeah, working in the sector of chemical engineering was the place where I was always exposed to industries such as oil and gas, cement and steel industry. So those were the sectors that we were always about to. Okay, but the emissions part did not come upon from there. I'm a very automobile enthusiast. I love cars and vehicles and everything. And I wanted to work along on vehicles specifically on cars up there. And my dean professor was not happy of me of not being very focused with my chemical sector knowledge, but just being passionate and just being crazily doodling about cars and reading about vehicles, reading about supercars, and etc. So it just started up like a spat or just like a fun joke between me and my dean that, you know, how about we will take chemical engineering and put it into an automobile and see, like, try to see the relation if there is something can be built upon something or not. So what we started off is like, where are the places where chemical engineering can be introduced into a vehicle? And then we landed up the emission part, that individual vehicles create some emissions. And then we were like, okay, how about we have so many technologies available in industries? How about we take industrial technology and try to fit it up into an automobile? So it was just a very crazy idea. For one fine afternoon, I was just quarreling with my dean. And it started off from there. And then we did some calculations and measurements and everything. And we came upon to some astounding numbers which baffled us up, which was that the individual emissions from vehicles was very, very, very on a higher scale. And we were in shock with that. Now, we were just thinking about if individual vehicle could create such an emission, that what would be the emissions on an industrial scale actually happening upon. And that 2-3 evenings of a friendly spat fight between me and my dean actually led the foundations of working out on emissions for vehicles, for industries, for climate change, for IPCC goals, for Paris Agreement goals, and everything just started to fall after that. And yeah, so later on we finalized that that we want to work towards on the carbon budget. We want to make sure that we do not overshoot the carbon budget as a globe totally. And yeah, just trying to promote some technologies which can help us keeping within the carbon budget.
You're doing a great job and incredible things can come out of a spat. Who knew? So as you continue to grow, are there any areas you are particularly excited to explore? Any opportunities you are hoping to seize in future?
Okay, so yeah, in the circular economical side itself, so we started up as a technology company and we were just focused as an R&D person and as an engineering tech background person. We were just trying to make technology for carbon capture up there. But later on in the run, we realized that it's not the capture part is going to be the only wholesome meat requirement, but we're also going to be needing end-to-end solutions, we're needing some logistics and storage and the extra supports, which is what actually led us entirely to creating to the circular economy part. We were just trying to make the technology first, but now later, further into the progress, we are now also trying to make a circular economy part platform and portal for the same things. So yeah, what we are keenly looking for is some circular cluster-based model. So I don't know if I can talk about clusters. Is that as I'm talking about up here, in businesses need to work in hand, and where is the place where that happens? Mostly is associations and you know, partnerings and joint ventures and the other things. I'm going again technical again. So, but associations are the place where a lot of industries of the same domain keep coming up together and keep coming up and working out some projects in coherence with each other, in collaborations with each other. What we have seen in order to create circular economy is something of an attitude amongst the businesses of the same type is something that would be required. Okay, so hence is the reason we are currently trying to seek some association development, some places which are highly industrial cluster places specifically, and up there we can act. It would be when such a hand-in-hand coordination is already some sort is already in place, then bringing those businesses and players, stakeholders to come together and execute out another set of work. It becomes a little more easier. That's the general approach. So far we're trying, we've narrowed down like right now with the Gujarat cluster, which is what which we are saying, because Gujarat on the Gulf of Kutch and on the western coast of India actually houses a lot of oil and gas refineries, oil and gas projects and oil and gas companies. It also houses steel and cement companies and also a lot of textile companies to the southern part when you come to Surat and other Valsad and all of those places up there. These all the industries are preventive about creating some CO2 emissions. And since these industries are working already in association formats and, you know, in a very, very close some harmony, very competitive harmony again, okay. Very, very friendly, but very, very competitive harmony also. And these are the very first entry points for us on the carbon circular economy point. So far, we have just been technology partners and technology developers. But now we are entering into a market with the circular economical approach. So these are the two projects for which we are sort of very excited and will be looking forward for them.
So what have been some of the biggest hurdles you have faced while implementing this technology across such a wide range of industries? So as a young entrepreneur, you are 24, right? How have you navigated these challenges?
In this carbon circular economy framework, as I mentioned, for a larger scale, it's still not yet in place. And it becomes very difficult right now unless and until some extra incentivizations and some extra benefits are also put into picture. So, yeah, so those are the like places where we are trying to still face some difficulties and hurdles up there. Is to create up a network, is to create some associational development. Although those are the also the advantages points, but yeah, since they are limited, they are also the weak points up here, right?
So as someone who has paved the way in the carbon circular economy space with Greenovate Solutions, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to enter this space?
See, the carbon circular economy, I would like to say that as many people as they want to join in, that's the best thing right now. We are very much short-handed. We are very much in the crunch of time also, okay, considering the global climate goals. okay, we are running very short of time and we are running very short-handed up here. On the lines of simply saying about that, there are multiple opportunities present, there are multiple requirements, there are needs, there are short gaps, there is abundance of scope available in order to do something on these lines. So you should just have the passion of working out for climate, working out for CO2 decarbonization, working out for creating up a circular economy. And let me tell you all, there is so much a short-handed, and there are so many gaps available into the entire system that there are only gaps in gaps right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as many people as can come in and fill in those gaps. So you can have either the business entrepreneurial mindset of carbon auditing, or you can just have carbon taxing as to be one thing, or you can just have logistics as one thing. These days storage is itself also coming upon one thing. If you're not a technology person and if you are just into economics part, then you can, as I mentioned, auditing could be, carbon auditing is one of the scope. Mm-hmm. There are also architectures coming into this. So in the whole carbon circular economy, as I mentioned, it is a game of lot of stakeholders to come together.
Yes.
And lot of stakeholders have not yet come together. And, you know, we need people who can fill up these gaps. So just pick one gap which pleases you the most and just start working out that. That's the biggest advice I would like to give. Second advice would be, when you come and try to bring others also with you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Ronak, you have successfully established yourself as a thought leader in the circular economy space. So, and I also heard that you attended the Agents of Change workshop on circular economy by the Indian Youth Climate Network this year. It was a really insightful and exciting experience. I was there too, in fact. I'm just so bad that we did not catch up. So I'm curious to know, what were some of your biggest takeaways from the workshop, and how have you been able to apply those learnings to your own work, or maybe, you know, in educating others?
I was there actually to gain some learning for my own self up there, because when I was there, I was very new to the circular economy ideology, and I had in fact attended as a researcher, as a tech guy, to just understand what circular economy is. And yeah, so the workshop actually helped me up to get some great insights, to get some understanding of great topics of the circular economy. And yeah, that is what led us to, in fact, bringing up and developing up our own circular economy. So we are trying to look upon through those learnings and just build on that right now.
Wow. That brings us to the end of today's episode. And before we wrap up, I'd like to leave everyone with a quote that I believe captures the essence of Ronak's work and his impact on the world. So it goes like, the greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else will save it. Ronak, thank you so much for being one of the people who is taking action and making a positive impact. We need more people like you. But before I let you go, please share with our listeners where they can find you and understand more about your work online.
Well, you can just look upon for Greenovate Solutions, and particularly you can look upon for greenovate.in. That's our website. And you will find us, and we'll be happy to connect with anybody who wants to seek more information or join hands with us in order with our combating climate change journey. We'll be happy to connect. Thank you.
Awesome. Remember, it's all about joining the loop. Thanks for listening, and remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening, and remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator. For more updates on a circular revolution, you can follow HT Smartcast and Indian Youth Climate Network on Instagram and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.